You are all welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. Just in case you came along with the Bible, I'd like us to turn to the book of John. Please make your neighbor welcome to this ground. You are welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. If you are a believer in the truth of God's word as revealed in the Bible, you realize that Jesus did not have any pulpit. All of his ministry was carried out under normal life circumstances and situations. Many times in scripture, God was not present in the temple. But you find him in naming ceremonies, in normal situations, coming to give direction to an entire nation when a child is being named. His ways are past finding out. And so there's a record of his ways in the book of the law that we can look into and become wise unto salvation. John chapter 1, you are welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'd like us to read verse 9 again. That was the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. Hallelujah. One more time. That was the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. There are so many things that are not open to the comprehension of mortal man. We live in an existence fabricated by a wisdom far beyond that which man can ever fathom. We do not know why the sky is suspended. We do not know why the earth has no true foundations, such that if you dig deep enough, you find water in the midst of the ground. So many things there be that is beyond the scope of our understanding. And that reveals that we need a little insight into the ways of him that has given us the privilege of the bread that we draw. The book of John chapter 1 gives us some insights that helps us to actually order our steps accurately. If you have lived on the earth long enough, you come to realize a few things. Hallelujah. Just like Solomon rightly deduced that the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong. Things don't happen the way normal human beings articulate them to happen. There might have been several times you have set out to achieve some stuff. And you put every possible hindrance into consideration and made sufficient plans for such hindrances in order for you to come up with your achievement. And suddenly, you discover several things outside the scope of what you were prepared for that popped out. And that's an indication of the fact that the scope of knowledge and wisdom that we function with is by no means comparable to the dimension of wisdom that stirs things, that occasions things, that orchestrates things among men. And because of this, we need to look into the perfect law of liberty. Because the perfect law of liberty gives us the opportunity to go beyond our mind and to interface with a reality that is not particularly factored into the life of men. Something that is of heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the Bible speaks here of a beginning. You see, the word beginning can only be used among men. It's an epileptic word in describing the context of reference that we are upon now. Because the realm of which this brother is trying to testify about is a realm that never began. A reality that does not continue. It's a perpetual continuum. An existence that has no beginning, that has no ending, because it's powered by a life source that is indestructible. A life source that cannot be forged, that cannot be formed, that cannot be fashioned. And so John speaks about a realm. A realm in which a personality that is the compendium of all wisdom resides. He calls him the Word. A compendium of all of God's purposes and utterances. A compendium of all God's wisdom and ways. A personality that speaks for the Godhead. He acts for the Godhead. He is the wisdom of the Godhead. And the Bible reveals that every activity in heaven, every activity among the Godhead, can only be understood when that personality is understood. God cannot be understood except that personality is understood. Because that personality bears the wisdom and the utterance of God. Just in case God wants to speak, he speaks through that personality. Just in case God wants to act, he acts through that personality. You see, he used the word in the beginning because fundamentally humanity has a source. Hallelujah. You are not with me. You see, the way we were dragging the praise and worship is a proof that our heart is far. But the Lord will give us grace to come closer. Please preach to your neighbor and revive him. Come home. Oh my. No, the way we sound praise. No, let me digress. You see, we want to go to heaven. For instance, we want to go to heaven. But on earth, we are so, when godly things are raised, the way we participate in it, we lie that it is true that we want to go to heaven. The way we respond to heavenly things, to godly things. Okay, a song is raised and everybody measures his dress. And then we sing accordingly. And we desire to go to heaven. The Lord will help us in Jesus' mighty name. And so the testimony goes that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, that personality called the Word was the one that goes out to make stuff. Just in case the council of the Godhead reaches a decision to perform an action, it is that personality that goes ahead to perform that work. It's only the scripture of all religious books of the entire Bible. Only the Bible reveals that God created everything by Jesus Christ. Only the Bible. Is that? Hallelujah. The more scientists have plunged into study to find out how this existence evolved, the more they have discovered that there's a design, because the cell of man is actually a machine. It has a fulcrum. It has all the things that a machine is supposed to have. And that's indicative of the fact that this existence did not just evolve. It came from a designer. It came from a creator. These discoveries came from atheists, not Bible scholars. The more they plunged into study, they came to realize that everything that was fashioned, that was framed, came out of a designer. And so the Bible says, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And scripture gave us privileged insight. That in him was a special kind of life form. And this special kind of life form is not something that is known among men. It's a hallowed life form. It's an indestructible kind of life form. It was never created, so it can never be destroyed. And he is a recipient of that life form. If you are still here, say amen. Now, this life form makes him different from man. Makes his existence eternal. Makes him categorized in his own class, in his own world. He is not to be compared with anything that eyes have seen, either in the visible or in the visible world, because he stands out in his own class. He commands his own life. He functions from his own frame of reference, such that you cannot compare him to anything that is mundane and time-based. And so there's a testimony about this personality. He is a custodian of his special kind of life. Hallelujah. First of all, he is the creator of all things. And then, second of all, he is a custodian of a peculiar kind of life. That life is distinct to him, is peculiar to him. It is one of the privileges of his realm, of his dimension. Hallelujah. Then he said, it happens to be that this life can be seen. When the life is exhibited, it can be seen, it can be envisaged. And whenever this life is exhibited and manifested among men, it shines upon them. And so the Bible says that this life is light unto men. It has a shining effect. And that's why Jesus was a spectacle while he walked this world. He just manifested that life. That was what he was in his most natural state. He was not trying to be something. He was not shaking to be something. He was just living out a specie of life, a quality of life. And that life was superior to anything that humanity could imagine. And so he shined on men. He exhibited that superior dimension, and man acknowledged that it was superior to anything that he could approximate unto. He went further in the discourse and he said, in order for that life and the light to be discovered, to be researched into, a researcher was raised. His name is called John. And he was raised to bear witness of that light. He was raised to give humanity understanding of that light. And then, in the midst of that, scriptures reveal that that light, even though so magnificent, so far removed from humanity, so different from anything within our own context and frame of reference, that light was the light that lighted every man that cometh into this world. So when you were being fashioned, you existed as a seed of eternity. Because according to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, you existed before you found expression in your mother's womb. Jeremiah said, God speaking to him said, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. I don't know in what form he existed, but he existed as a seed of eternity. Before thou camest forth, I sanctified and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. His measures were already determined even before he was formed. His scope was determined. His coverage was determined. His reach was determined in a studio of his making. And the Bible revealed that after he was crafted, his dimensions were articulated, he was fashioned to carry that which God had ordained him to function in. Are you still with me? Oh, you're not with me. If you are with me, say amen. The amen is dry. Jesus. I say, if you are here, say amen.
Amen.
It's a dry kind of amen. But we'll make do with that for now. Now, the Bible revealed that before any man comes into the world, after your dimensions are articulated, because for Jeremiah, he was a prophet to the nations. So his capacity, his spirit, had to be fashioned with certain dimensions to be able to carry the resources that will make him exactly what he was ordained to be. You cannot be a prophet to the nations if you don't have resources sufficient to take you toward, to make you sustain that scope and that reach. Now, so he was created specifically for that design, that was required for him to carry the kind of spiritual weight that will make him a voice across borders. Are you with me? Now, when that creation is done, according to my Bible, you are brought to the studio. And when you are brought to the studio, before you come into the world, there is an illumination that shines into the core of your being. Now, the Bible says that was the true light that lighted every man. This is not salvation. That was the true light that what? Lighted every man. Now, how many of you have seen a CD being burnt? Say we are burning a CD. There is nothing physically, or if you check the tools, it's actually a beam that is shot into the blank CD and the information is transferred. Now, so when you are created according to the dimensions that is suitable to carry the weight of spiritual resources that will take you into the coverage and the reach of your destiny, you are brought into the studio for encoding. Now, it is that encoding process that the Bible reveals that the true light comes to lighten you. Now, before this lady showed up here, she was taken to the studio. Now, the Bible says that there are several mysteries regarding conception and regarding the way a child grows in the womb. It will always remain a mystery. How that the thin lining of a woman's womb is always able to sustain the growth of bones. I don't know how it happens, but I think it's so spiritual. It's something beyond comprehension. You can only study it, but you cannot question it. You know, you can't question, why is it like? No. Just study. There's a lining. There's the uterus. Okay? No questions. It's the fallopian tube is here. Don't ask any. That's how it is. Now, when you are compelled to receive knowledge without asking questions, it means the one that fabricated it is superior to you. He only gives you homework to study, to try to look upon. Oh, this place is all right. This is where the bones grow, but no questions. The Bible says, we do not know the way of the Spirit, just as we cannot fathom how bones are formed in the womb of she that is with child. Now, that scope goes beyond humanity, goes beyond knowledge that you can study in the library. How bones are formed in that narrow lining of a woman's womb. There's something that is being crafted. And the Bible says that before that seed of eternity comes into time, it goes for encoding. The true light has to lighten that seed. Because if you don't have that light, you have no license, no brand name, no NASDAQ number to show up here. That's what gives you the right to function. Now, if you are still here, say amen. That was a true light that lightens every man that cometh into the world. And it happens to be that the economy of God will sustain you as long as God is still hopeful that your life will still function with respect to that which was ordained in the studio. As long as God is still hopeful, the economy of heaven will still sustain your breath, sustain your existence. As long as God is still hopeful that one day you realize that there was an encoding before you found expression, God will still be willing to sustain you. Amen. Now, you see, that's where the ministry of the prophet is relevant, is important. Because the prophet can discern and decode the language of that light. Are you with me? Now, if the language of that light is not decoded, there is a tendency that that child would not live in conformity with the encoding. The child might get involved in several things in the world of men and forget that there was a time where he or she was a seed of eternity. Are you still with me? You are not with me. So I have to read the scripture because you are not here to catch your attention. There is a temptation. There is a possibility of every one of us to forget that you are a seed of eternity. You think you are a lecturer. That's what you think you are. You think you are... No, you have missed it. There was something that was encoded before lecturing was founded. Something that was encoded before what we see around was established. And your life holds a greater meaning than anything that man can call you, anything that man has made you. For instance, we are Nigerians today because the white man created the nation called Nigeria and gave us that identity. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, in the encoding that took place in the studio, he gave us that identity. And so you go around with a green passport to the nations of the world. You are not a Nigerian. You existed as a seed of eternity before you were released into time. And when you were about coming into time, you passed through a studio. And when you got into that studio, the true light, there's a true illumination. That is to say that the light that comes from the sun is false. It's not consistent with truth. The true light, that's the light that has capacity to unveil you accurately within the context of your creation. It can define you, reveal you, and advertise you within the context of that which took place in the studio. Because your life has no meaning outside of the encoding that took place in the studio before you came into time. The Bible says that was the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. There were several times in scripture where, fortunately, naming ceremonies were conducted where prophets were around. And these prophets came under the influence of their office. And one of the dynamics of the prophetic office is that it gives ability to read the runes of God. Men like John the Baptist, their destiny was foretold before they had strength to march the ground. His father came under an influence, and he began to spell out the things that were encoded into his spirit from the studio. He said, "Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, because thou shalt go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to bring knowledge of salvation unto his people, whereby the day spring from on high had visited us." Those were words that came from the encoding laboratory. And today, as we present this child before the Lord, we are trusting God that some decoding will be done. Because when a child is born without the cardinal points of decoding, it is not possible for the parents to raise the child well. Because the Bible says that when a child is to be raised, the child is to be raised in the way he should go. Hallelujah. How is he supposed to be raised? In the way, train up a child in the way what? Now, how can you train that child when you don't know the way? The child was already preordained, predetermined to walk a certain path before he came into time. And the parents are supposed to do what we call prophetic parenting. Your parenting begins when you have access into the mysteries concerning that child, so that you can raise that child. And in that context, the child there is singular, not children. Indicative of the fact that every child has a way to go. You cannot just gather them and send them to Tiny Tots and claim you are training them. There's no collective training. The child is trained specifically in line with the encoding. Now, you see, one thing about the spirit of a man, the spirit does not grow. It's a seed of eternity. In eternity, you cannot improve on what exists there. It's fashioned and framed in the context of God's purpose and God's will. Those are the driving factors of the spirit realm. The realm in which God dwells is a realm of thrones, a realm of statutes, a realm of spirits, a realm of judgment, a realm of measures. Hallelujah. You can't improve on anything in that realm. You do not grow as per increase in height. Now, so the spirit that this child has the capacity to carry the encoding. Are you with me? But you see, the child is not just spirit. The child has a soul. The child has a body. And it happens to be that it's the soul of the child that looks into this realm and interfaces and interacts with it. Are you with me? Someday, when a child is dedicated to God, it's easier for that child to become born again, to be enlightened. The same light that was used to encode his destiny into his spirit will visit him while he walks this ground. Are you with me? That same light. And when that light comes, the child will be able to identify that light. Just like when Mary was pregnant for Jesus. And Elizabeth was pregnant for John the Baptist. And there was that meeting. Based on the salutation that went forth, there were exchanges and impartations that took place. In fact, Jesus was operating in his ministry as the baptizer in the spirit.
while he was still in the womb, he sustained that office. And it was in the womb that he baptized John the Baptist in the Spirit. Wherefore, it is written in Scripture that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. It is that encounter that led to that baptism. So, it was effective. His office was effective even while he was where? As human beings, we think that the womb is just, okay, passage. A preparatory place. But according to Scripture, the womb is beyond an incubator. The womb does not just sustain flesh and bone. Impartations take place right there in the womb. That's why the true testimony of the 9 months, what led to the birth of a child, is the mother that has that testimony. Normally, when angels appear to women that are pregnant, amen, or normally, when God sends messengers concerning a particular child that's about to be released, the messengers are sent to the women, not to the men. Now, so the child is expected to remain in the womb for 9 months, in the which is expected that the revelation concerning what the child is containing will visit with the mother. Any mother that carries a child for 9 months that cannot interpret the movements and the time when the child is filled with the Spirit, the time when the child receives impartations to bring the person, that child, into conformity and alignment with the series of releases that will come upon that child in order for that child to have the capacity for the extent, coverage, and reach of destiny. If the woman cannot pin down the dates where those impartations began to take place, and the times where the child leaped, not because he was kicking. You know, biologically, they tell us about kicking. He's kicking. Hallelujah. But what Mary said, what Elizabeth said, was that the child, what? He leaped. That is not in the books. You must be able to tell when the child leaped. Because you came into an act. Okay, it's difficult for you to understand. Let's use witchcraft. If you visit a shrine when you are pregnant and there are releases, most of you remember that one, that there was a pain under. You battle with it. It was still a release. You know, in Africa, except you bring the doctrine, make it witchcraft kind, people can't understand it. You must say, okay. It was a release. And there are many children that are shaped from the womb. The womb is that time where a being is most vulnerable. Because as sealed as you think the womb is the most porous to spiritual things. Because there's a battle for shaping. There's a battle for shaping that takes place. And the Lord will help us. Mostly in the night, pregnant women see strange kind of battles because they are at the point of the interface when the spirit realm wants to rest on the natural, to have something, substance to dwell in. All kinds of spirits try to gain entrance and to gain mastery. And impartations being a possibility makes it a very sensitive period. And the Bible says, the true light lightens every man that cometh into the world. Here we are today to name a child, and God willing to peep into our spirit to see the language in which the things have been encoded about her destiny, in order to have tools and raw materials by which that child can be brought up according to the intention of God. But I need to ask us a question. It's a fundamental question. Because when I went to the university, my desire was to be a lecturer of chemistry. And to be frank with you, I actually knew the chemistry. Very frank with you. I was good in it. Amen. And I wanted to be a lecturer because I was good in what I was taught. I did not have academic problems. People pray for academic. No. I've never had a reason to pray for that. So I wanted to be a lecturer. And I believe I had all it took to become not just a lecturer, but the best, especially in the science field. I had an intention to come to the lecturing class with no notebook. And then draw all the structures on the board from my brain. Give notebooks, 400 level, 300 remedial. Give them notes from the brain. Now, this is predicated on the fact that I believe that I'm one of the people in this world that can cram most. This kind of my people. I believe that. Because I could cram 130 pages, 250 pages of note with structures. And if you provoke me, I can be writing the answers and putting the numbers of the pages where I've lifted it from. Now, you see, my circumstances, my situations made me feel that that was my destiny. My strengths, my abilities, the field of oppression made me feel that that was my destiny. It was a worthy cause for me to lay my life in pursuit of. My ambition aggravated when we were doing external project defense and a wise man came from University of Calabar. He was a professor of electrochemistry. That's the most difficult aspect of chemistry. And just like that simple man, full of a modicum of wisdom. And he asked us strange questions. Yes, questions that were not in the hand, obviously. And I saw him and I desired to be like him. And we didn't have one lecturer that had as much as a master's degree in electrochemistry. I say, my God. Because electrochemistry, quantum chemistry, those are areas for madmen. Because you start the course with the Schrodinger equation. You can never be correct with that equation. You can't be right. So those were areas that, you know, if you have a master's degree in quantum chemistry, you are like the God in the science field. You know physics more than the guy that read physics. You know mathematics more than the mathematician. So you can function everywhere. It's likely that you'll be a doctor of science if you started with quantum chemistry. That's why I had a dream. But you see, it was my circumstances and my perceived ability that suggested that that would be a course of pursuit. Hallelujah. It means that many things we fight to see that you fulfill something other than the encoding. Meanwhile, every man that came into the world received a light. And that light the Bible calls the true light that lightens every man that cometh into the world. You can be gifted and the worst thing that will happen to you is that you succeed in your ambition. You see, in this day of success and prosperity, there is a drive for all men to seek to accomplish that which lends to his wits and his skills. Meanwhile, the search for the encoding of the true light is no longer part. It's no longer part of the culture of the people of God. And so it is needful. It was difficult for me to stumble into my destiny because my parents did not know, even though they were Christians. The fact that you are a Christian and you avoid the spiritual principle will not make it effective in your heart. Just because you call Jesus a morning devotion. If my parents had had insight into the fact that I had a destiny that was different from lecturing. In fact, my major problem with God for 3 years was that I wanted to lecture. And God said, you will never lecture. I said, I have the ability to lecture. Then he now did something which we don't need to know about. He did something. Now, all that which he did affected me, but it did not affect my destiny. I cried, but my destiny was rejoicing. Oh, you don't understand. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, you are blessed and highly favored. From that salutation, the woman entered into problems for a long time. So we need to reevaluate the meaning of blessing. Because you think that if you can make more money, you are blessed. You think that if you come out and you have two master's degree, you are blessed. I have two cars parked now. I have a stall of stuff. I'm just coming back from Germany. The flight was long and I'm suffering from plane lag. Hallelujah. Now, you may actually be totally out of context with the testimony of the light. And that's why John the Baptist was sent as a witness. He agreed that he was not that light, but he was given the tools with which to find it and to identify it. That was why he began his baptismal service. Because through that, his prophetic service, that was the only way humanity had to know the custodian of this light. He baptized in a river that was dirty. And he was stuck there because he had to identify a fellow. I was laboring so many years outside the scope of what was not written concerning me. So it was some years later that God conquered my ambition to be a lecturer. And then I gave that up. And then when I gave it up, the only quantum chemist in Benin State University that was a PhD holder for 21 years and was denied the professorate honors was now offered that honor in Abia State University and also doubled with the office of the DVC. He came back to school to look for me to come and continue his work. Then I had survived, I had labored in prayer and I had given up the lecturing ambition. And then the old man came and said, "Where is that boy? Look for that boy." At that time, the true light had been ministered to me. At that time, the illumination that encoded my spirit had become conscious of it. It was difficult for me to find out because I was not trained in the way I should go. So I labored like a wanderer, out of context, desiring things that this world has named. Desiring trophies that this world can give. Meanwhile, there was something written and I was designed in the studio to carry that weight of glory and to sustain that extent of reach. And as far as that is not accomplished upon the face of the earth, I am a parable in heaven. And angels will talk about me in the night. I want to ask you a question before we go further. Because the truth of the matter is this, a baby will not be born into the earth if there is no strategic purpose of God in that land for that seed to fulfill. The Bible says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord." It's not a heritage of men, but what? That is to say, that if by any means, maybe through evangelist Chris, something from heaven was downloaded, maybe through your prayers, through your sacrifice, and through the witness of God that you sustained in your time and in your generation. Something was downloaded from heaven. Something came out of heaven. Your life drew something from heaven. It's expected that if God has generations on earth, that which your life brought will still exist in this world through the heritage of the Lord until the end of this world. But you see, when we check around, the anointing that the hosts are operated with is not with us. The anointing that many men of God function in this land has gone withdrawn, not to heaven, but to the spirit realm. Because God doesn't have sufficient heritage to handle the things that once came out of heaven. Now, remember that when Elijah downloaded that unction, he started a prophetic landscape. His anointing transferred to Elisha and he got hooked. Because Gehazi did not have capacity to carry it. It moved into the spirit realm. It means that the heritage was truncated at that point. Now, when John the Baptist showed up, an angel came and prophesied that the spirit of Elijah is still good, still well and fine, floating in the spirit realm. And this young man has been found of sufficient stature to walk in the power and in the spirit of prophet Elijah. That God's heritage was able to come back into the earth because that child was raised with an understanding of his destiny. So he knew how to pray. He knew how to preach. He knew how to prophesy until revival came. In our own case, first of all, you take PhD first. Then you now begin to, you are a toddler in the things of God concerning your destiny. That is a reverse order. The possibility of fulfillment is not in view. You'll be so engrossed with things that are mundane that you feel your pride will strangulate your purpose. Even though you are seeing it, you can't step into it. And one of your child will have to be diverted to continue what you refuse to do. And that's why destiny can be transferred. And there is an anointing that is family based. And a man will have to rise to activate and to download the family scope of anointing. That's why the Bible says that the sons of Issachar, they were men that understood the times. It was a family grace. Every son of Issachar had that capacity. Now, if you have not been able to download the grace of your family, it's not only generational curses we have. The devil has not been given leverage, license to create. He has not been given. So, he caused. Somebody violated some principles. But there are generational anointings and blessings that we have not been able to tap into. There are family-based graces, family grace-based anointings that we have not seen. In fact, you see, Tivland, oh my God. Oh, let me stop there. I have seen Tivland from the spirit realm. You may not believe me anyway. Some of us will labor here, and when we are dead, they will look for somewhere in this land and put us as a witness, as a testimony. Because we were privileged to see the land from the realm. We stood in the midst of the angels that defended the secrets about it. And they granted us access and liberty into the archives. And the little that we saw, that we beheld, it doesn't look like what you are seeing right now. Then God must have a heritage of men that will facilitate those policies. He must have a heritage because, if you are in the generation of our mothers, let me offend you. The truth of the matter. Okay. Amen. The Lord will. Hallelujah. Hey, mommy, your generation failed us. In this land, failed us. From preacher to politician, failed us. And today we have to still make up for the ground that was lost and also find our destiny and fulfill it. It's a frustrating situation. That's what happens when people don't have insight into the spiritual things over a territory. And we march, we walk on horseback, on foot when our destiny is on horseback. But God will help us in the name of Jesus. Just in case you walked into this place and that which is written in God's holy book concerning you, you have never peeped into it. Your estimation of yourself is how that you are 5'8" and your waist is 13. You are in trouble. Because that estimation by no means is in conformity with the true light that lightens every man that cometh into the world. Can we bow our heads in prayer? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. He is the end of all things made. He is the beginning of all things made. And just in case you, being one of the things He has made, has not yet found your definition with Him, the Bible calls you a lost man. And tonight, we want to extend to you the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of redemption, the grace of mercy. And just in case you are here under the sound of my voice and you are far away from the script that has been written concerning you, once upon a time, there was a light that lightened you before you came into this world, but you have lived an incongruous life that is not consistent with that which was laid down. You are lost. And on these steps tonight, as we proclaim names unto this dear child of God that has come to be with us, it will be an honor if you can step into your destiny. It will be full of grace for you to be enlightened by God. It will be something, what glory, for you to see the true light
that lightens every man that cometh into the world. Right where you are seated, and you want to say, God, I've been on a journey, and obviously this journey has been from one level of futility to another. And now I need conviction in my spirit. Now I need illumination in my heart and liberty in my soul. And you are coming to the Lord tonight. I'd like you to humbly indicate by putting your right hand on your chest as you begin to talk to Jesus. I want you to humbly indicate. You want to say, God, I want to come back from my wandering. I want to come home for my journey. And I want you to accept me. If that's your prayer tonight, with your right hand on your chest, begin to speak with God and begin to talk to Him. It doesn't matter how long you have walked this world, how many years you have been around. If you have not come in contact with the true illuminating light that lightens every man that cometh into the world, you are lost. And God calls you. He calls you. He calls you. He calls you from your journey. He calls you from your strange land. He calls you from your wandering. He calls you back to Himself. He calls you into your destiny. Oh God, we give you praise. Oh God, we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name. If your hand is on your chest, I'd like you to stand up and come meet me here. Just be bold. Just stand up. Don't allow the devil win the argument. Okay? Just stand up. Come forward. Don't allow him win the argument. The devil is a bad devil. Nobody should be ashamed of him. Do not be ashamed of God because of the whispers of the devil when it comes to take away from you that which he never gave you. God is coming to align you and to synchronize you with that which was written in the volume of the books in eternity. And there is a witness, because before you came up, there was a light. The Bible calls it the true light. It lightened you. It included you. Because as you pass through life, that light will seek you again in time, and it will show you its glory. Wisdom demands that in the day that light comes, you should respond to him and do not tarry. I give a few more seconds to someone sitting out there that needs to make it right with God. Needs to make it right with God. My testimony is that I found the light. Somehow I discovered the light, and I saw that God had something in store, much more than I've desired. Father, your people have come to you, your sons and your daughters, to seek peace with your spirit, to accept what you are offering. They have come to you. And you said that anyone that comes to you, you shall in no wise cast out. Oh God, they come to embrace. They come to identify with you. And I ask, oh God, that you show mercy tonight. Show mercy tonight. Show mercy tonight. They come because they are conscious of the fact that they have wandered long from that which is written concerning them. And they seek to make peace with you. And by the blood of your cross, grant mercy. In Jesus' mighty name.